Okay, Epiphany, as I say every year, is much older than Christmas. Christmas was several centuries later. And why is that? Well, it's all buried in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's, first of all, we all know that the Gospels are not biographies. They're basically theological commentaries on the life of Jesus. Jesus was not born in Bethlehem. Jesus was not born with three kings or three wise men. All this was constructed out of the Psalms. You heard Rita read the Psalms. Well, the wise men are going to come and the camels are going to come from all over and all the nations are going to gather in. And that's why Epiphany is so vital, because it is a fulfillment of all things Jewish. The great leitmotif of the whole old Hebrew Bible is, in you, God said to Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now, out of their tumultuous history, the Jews never looked that way because they'd been beaten up so many times by every empire. The Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Romans, the Greeks. They all came through and stomped on these guys. And for most of their history, they were captive people under some foreign domination. So along comes Matthew, probably a Jewish writer, and he wanted to cast Jesus in the role of the absolute ultimate Jew. So Matthew depicts Jesus as the new Moses, which we've seen. Moses was saved from the river and all these other little kids got killed. That never happened, fortunately. Okay? So Jesus has to go to Egypt to escape from the Jews, the king of the Jews. A reverse Exodus. In fact, Matthew even makes up a prophecy, because his is a gospel that has this great theme. And so will the word of the prophet fulfilled. He shall be out of Egypt. I have called my son. That's in no prophet. But Matthew is trying to drive the point home over and over that Jesus is the light for the salvation of all nations. And that's why Christmas is more important, and Epiphany is more important, because this is the fulfillment of God's plan. The Jews had become, understandably, highly tribal, you know, because they got beat up so often. They circled the wagons, and so they had this big distinction between the Jews and the Gentiles. Jesus busted the heck out of that. He talked to a Samaritan woman. The Samaritans, who were half-Jews, were friends of Jesus. He called the Pharisees, anticipating this passage in the infancy narrative, hypocrites. Herod was a supreme hypocrite. Everybody was, all these other Jews, Jewish teachers, Jewish scholars, were hypocrites. So that's why Epiphany is so much more important than Christmas, because it says what the whole plan of God was about. Namely, the salvation of the entire human race. And as usual, we human beings have messed it up. So the Jews tribalized themselves, huh? If you grew up in the Catholic environment of the 40s or the 50s, you know, there was no more tribal group than the Catholics, you know. You didn't talk to bloody pagans, Protestants. You didn't do anything to have any kind of intercourse with them of any kind. So it's a fulfillment of this, and it's a fulfillment of what Francis has been talking about a lot lately. Max Weber, the founder of sociology, made the point 100 years ago that all institutions exist for their self-preservation. We all know that, whether it's Sears or the Canadian government or you know, GE or whatever. Their first line of existence is to save themselves, to protect themselves, to prolong themselves. The church is supposed to be the only institution on earth that is not there for its own sake, but for the sake of the world. The church is going to disappear. The church is a temporary arrangement, you know. The church is simply supposed to be the means of God manifesting herself to everybody else as the savior of the entire human race. You know? This is really big stuff, because at least the church I grew up in, the church often enough today tends to be this tribal, this insular group of people who are constantly protecting themselves. Mercifully, this is falling apart, largely under the work of Francis. But if you look at what Francis is doing and you compare that with the German Pope before him, who said everybody else was a dirty rat except us Catholics. Well, that's a loose translation of Pope Ratzinger's theology. But you can read it all over the place. And if you know anything about the man, you know that that's exactly what he was about. And Francis comes, washes the feet of a Muslim lady on Holy Thursday, visits synagogues. His best friend is a rabbi in Buenos Aires. And the Muslim guy, he takes these two guys on trips with him to Brazil and Africa and the other places he'd been, in order to shout to everybody that the church is a church with an open door. It is the church of mercy. It's a field hospital, in his favorite metaphor. It's there to cure everybody. And Francis says, before you judge anybody, you should be merciful. So where does that leave us? Well, some of us have a very hard time seeing beyond this tribal origin, to imagine that everybody on earth is as beloved by God as we are. You know. But it is absolutely true that we're supposed to be missionaries. Primarily, we're supposed to be. We don't, according to that old nasty theological mistake, we are not here to save our souls. We are not here to save our souls. Or, if you want to use that language, we're here to save our souls only because we work for the salvation of everybody else. Full stop. I mean, you cannot qualify that in any way. So what do we do in beautiful London, Ontario, or near Strathroy, Ontario? We have to include everybody here, too. It's hard. I'm not a missionary. Well, I was in Zambia for a while, and I hope I was useful there. I think I was. But we live, you know, we live between Walmart and, you know, Bernie's Bar and Grill and Popeye's Chicken and all these institutions that we sustain. So what can we do to act as missionaries? The best thing, I use this as a holy card for my ordination, so I dug it up. The best way I know to begin to respond to that is in a quotation from a former archbishop, Cardinal Archbishop of Paris. This was in the 40s and the 50s. Emmanuel Cardinal Suard was well before his time. Supported the French worker priests, if you've ever heard of them. They worked in factories, you know, to simply ensconce themselves where the church had lost all the working class in France, to show them that they were there for them, to witness by their presence that they were acceptable to God. So finally, here's what the glorious words of Suard. To be a witness does not consist in engaging in propaganda, nor even in stirring people up, but in being a living mystery. That is, it means to live in such a way that one's life would not make sense if God did not exist. That's the best description of witness I know.